إله إلا الله.
You're listening to ebuzz.com.
محمد رسول الله عليه الصلاة
والسلام. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا، صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. درود شریف پڑھیں. Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home. In the last session of Dars-e Hadith, we talked about some of the important contribution of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu in the ghazawat, the battles with Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the battle of Badr. And in the last session we covered the battle of Uhud. Ulama have mentioned some other very important events have also taken place in the Ghazawat that concern Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala an. In the battle of Banu Mustalaq, an incident had taken place between two companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. One Sahabi was a Muhajir and the other Sahabi was an Ansari Sahabi. An argument broke out between the two, eventually leading up to some form of scuffling and fighting. Eventually one of the Muhajir Sahabi kicked the Ansari Sahabi. Now one must not forget, these were young youth companions of Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam, not the senior companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, not the senior Muhajireen and the Ansar. The Sahabi who got injured, Ansari Sahabi, he called out to his friends who were all Ansar, and they came to rescue him, to help him. And when the Muhajir Sahabi saw that a gang of the Ansar are here, he called out his friends, and they were all Muhajir companions. Muhajir were basically people from Makkatul Mukarrama, and the Ansar were people of Madinatul Munawwara. Al-jinsu yamilu ilal jins. When both the groups came face to face with each other, at that point Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam stood up and he looked at them, and these are the words of Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam which we need to understand. He looked at the companions and he said, "Afi da'wa al-jahiliyyah, أَفِي دَعْوَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ وَأَنَا بَيْنَ أَزْهُرِكُمْ." Are you chanting out the slogans of Jahiliyyah whilst I am still alive in the midst of you? Are you chanting out the slogans of Jahiliyyah whilst I am still alive in the midst of you? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was hinting towards tribalism, nationalism. This is something that is detested in Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the ummah one ummah. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ. Allah has said, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. An ummah that practices moderation. that we are one family. The minute you say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, you come into the fold of Islam and you are one. That is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in the hadith, Inna Allah la yanzuru ila suwarikum, Allah does not look at your skin color. Are you white, black, whatever color you are? Wala ila amwalikum, how rich you are. Allah doesn't look at that. وَلَكِنْ يَنْزُرُوا إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ But Allah looks at the level of iman, the taqwa that rests inside your heart. That is important to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said to the companions, I am in the midst of you. And this is what you do. And reminded the youth amongst the muhajireen and the ansar. You get young people very energetic. And he said to the youth, دَعُوهَا فَإِنَّهَا نَتِنَا Stay away from this. Stay away from this. For there is this evil smell in Asabiyya. Asabiyya, again tribalism, nationalism. There is this evil smell, so stay away. This was the sabak that was given by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the battle of Banu Mustalaq. Now when this information was given to the leader of the Munafiqeen, Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul. Remember, he was from Madinatul Munawwara. When he saw that the youth were about to fight the Ansar and the Muhajireen, and Huzur alayhi salatu was salam came and calmed them and took control of the situation. He was to be the crown king of Madinatul Munawwara. When Huzur alayhi salatu was salam came, everyone embraced shahada on the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and nobody looked at Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul. So there was this element of jealousy in him, and he was also a munafiq. This was something that the companions also knew. So he said to his group of people, if you remember, the 300 that defected from the battle. So all in total, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only had 700 fighters. He said to the people that we are Madani people, and these Muhajireen come, and they want to fight the youth, the Ansari youth. Again, inciting and instigating. These are the words that came out from his mouth. أَمَا وَاللَّهِ لَإِن رَجَعْنَا إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ لَيُخْرِجَنَّ الْعَزُّ مِنْهَا الْأَذَلِ Let us return back to Medina. When we return back to Medina, what we will do, we will drive out the noble people, will drive out the ignoble people. A'izza means noble people, honorable people. And azilla means people of zilla, the ignoble people, dishonorable people. So we are the noble people, and we will push out from Medina the ignoble people. Aliyazu billah, saying Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions are lowly people, inferior people. Now, not realizing that his son was also there, who was a sahabi of Huzur alayhi salatu was salam. And a sincere sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He heard this from the father. He was devastated. The companions dearly loved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And for the father to call Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as someone who has no honor, he was very angry. And he was waiting for his father to enter into the city of Madinatul Munawwara. He got to Medina before the father, and he unsheathed his sword, and he was waiting for his father to come. From a distance, when he saw his father coming, he looked at the father and he said, there is no entry for you in the city of Medina until you declare that you are the ignoble one, the dishonorable one, and the noble one is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the companions are honorable companions. You have to declare it, otherwise there is no entry for you in the city of Madinatul Munawwara. Subhanallah. These were the companions, my respected brothers. There was no compromise with them when it came to protecting the izzah, the honor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he unsheathed his sword and he said, you can't move a step, you will not enter Madinatul Munawwara. So there was this group of 300 people outside Madinatul Munawwara. Information was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam came, and with him was Hazrat Umar Farooq radiyallahu ta'ala. When Hazrat Umar Farooq radiyallahu ta'ala came, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to his son Abdullah, why he was stopping his father, and Abdullah related the story that he is calling you the ignoble one, someone who is lowly and inferior. Hazrat Umar Farooq radiyallahu ta'ala heard this, and these are the words. The ulama have quoted this, and this has always been the quality or the trait of Hazrat Umar Farooq radiyallahu ta'ala. He said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, da'ni ya Rasulullah, adrib unaka hadha al-munafiq. Give me permission, O Messenger of Allah. Let me tear out his head from his body. Let me tear out the head from his body. Give me permission and I will sort him out. Allahu Akbar. Ulama have mentioned that you will find these words attributed to Hazrat Umar Farooq radiyallahu ta'ala. Many a times when you read the ahadith of Huzur alayhi salatu wassalam, anyone of the slightest disrespect to Huzur alayhi salam, and very straight away Hazrat Umar Farooq would take out his sword, and these are the words, give me permission ya Rasulullah, I will take him out. And there was intense pressure. You had the Jews in Madinatul Munawwara on one side. Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, he was also a powerful man in Madinatul Munawwara, not an ordinary man. And to take him out was not easy, a lot of pressure. But he, Hazrat Umar Farooq radiyallahu ta'ala an, is prepared for anything if permission was given. What did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say to him? لا يتحدث الناس أن محمدا يقتل أصحابه. Now don't do that. I don't want the people to say that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in the habit of killing his own companions. Don't do that. Although he was a munafiq, although he disrespected Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and although the penalty in Sharia is to execute that person who disrespects Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very wisely with hikmah is saying, no, I don't want people to say that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a man who kills his own people. Why? Because to the outside world, Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, though he's a munafiq, but he is there very punctual in the masjid, and he is there with the companions claiming to be a Muslim. And Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Ya Umar, this is not the right thing for you to do. There are very important lessons for us to learn from this event, my respected brothers. One is the fact that when we look at the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he always wanted to maintain the reputation of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the world that we live in today, this ummah is nothing but full of terrorists, aliyazu billah. And the word Muslim means peace. The first message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina, afshu salama baynakum, spread peace, spread peace. So he wanted to maintain that very high position and rank for this ummah. And that is why he said, no, this is not the right thing for you to do. The second most important lesson we have to understand is that the powerful tool of the shaitan is asabiyya, is nationalism and tribalism. And this is how he divides the Muslims. Unfortunately today that is the case. You look at any of the Muslim countries. If somebody is living in Pakistan, he is a Muslim. For some reason, he will take his Muslim brother just across the border to be inferior. Possibly he might not share the same language, possibly different culture. Maybe he is different. Maybe his face, the physique is different. This is asabiyya. I am from this part of the land. I am this, I am that. Nationalism, tribalism. So someone from Pakistan, being a Muslim, possibly if he's not educated, if he hasn't got the right Islamic understanding, he might not like someone who is an Indian Muslim. And vice versa, possibly an Indian Muslim might not like someone who is in Pakistan. And cross the border, possibly the Pakistani Muslim and the Indian Muslim might not like a Bangladeshi Muslim. No offense to anyone. But subhanallah, it was only a little incident that could have erupted a war between the Muhajir and the Ansari companions. A little incident, small incident. But straight away, you had people from Madinatul Munawwara, a party who were Ansar, and you had people from Makkatul Mukarrama who were the Muhajirin. Straight away, they stood up. Again, this was in their system, tribalism. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam came and he said, "Afi da'wa al-jahiliya wa ana bayna azhurikum?" That you are practicing jahiliya, being Muslims. So subhanallah, our conscious and understanding must be very, very clear, my respected brothers. Be it any color. And if he says to you, I am a Muslim, give him that benefit and give him the honor and that respect that he is a Muslim. This was the beautiful teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That person who was close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the beginning was an Abyssinian from Africa, and these were slaves, Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, and the rich aristocrats of Makkah did not want to sit with Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam, did not want to talk with him. And they said to him, how do you expect us to talk with this man, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he has with him slaves, Abyssinians, people from Habasha? How should we sit and talk and have a dialogue with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? And that is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to take this thing out from us. Never mind the subcontinent, look at the Arab part of the world. Look at the Arab part of the world. Saudi Arabia Arabs, different. You can live in Saudi Arabia for 50 years, you still won't get a Saudi passport. No offense to anyone. But this is it. You cross the border, or that person is a Palestinian, that person is an Egyptian, that person is a Libyan. And then tribalism. And there is this disregard. Straight away when you cross the border, there is this element of discrimination, prejudice and racism between Muslims. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. In fact, so much so that in the masjid, if we have one particular group that is praying salah, and you'll have another group that is from perhaps a different part of the world, one feels to be in that position that I need not to do salam to him. I need not to do salam to him. I need not to integrate with him. Never mind integration with the kuffar and the other people that are out there. We ourselves don't want to integrate with the Muslims. So one very important lesson, my respected brothers, And this was education for the companions, for the young and youth Sahaba. This was never the case. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an, being someone from Abyssinia, was free to marry anyone whom he wished. If he wanted to marry someone from the Qurayshi tribe, the elite tribe, permission was given to him. Nobody looked at his skin color, nobody looked at his identity, where he was from. In fact, they would look at the taqwa, subhanallah, the nur of iman that was inside Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala. And this is what we have to look at, my respected brothers. One very important lesson in the battle of Banu Mustalaq, that we are all Muslims and we should love each other and we should respect each other and we should compliment each other. One hadith that I read in Jummah today, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَاللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِي عَوْنِ الْعَبْدِ مَا كَانَ الْعَبْدُ فِي عَوْنِ أَخِيهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's nusrat, Allah's help will only come when we as Muslims learn to help each other without discrimination. When we learn to help each other without discrimination, whoever he is, if he has got the kalima, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, he is the ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. How much love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had for his ummah, my respected brothers. Jibreel Amin came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and said to him, Allah gives me the message to tell you that whatever dua you make, any of your three dua, Allah will accept. Your three dua, Allah will accept. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lifted up his hands. The first dua he is making. What was his dua? Allahumma gfir li ummati. Allahumma gfir li ummati. The first dua he makes, oh Allah, forgive my ummah. Jibreel Amin looks at Huzur alayhi salam. This is your first dua, ya Rasulullah. What is your second dua? And he lifts up his hands and he says, Allahumma gfir li ummati. The same dua, the second dua. Oh Allah, forgive my ummah. This was the love that he had. Another Jibreel said the third dua. Huzur alayhi salam said that I am saving this dua for Maidan al-Hashr, which is Shafa'atul Kubra. So we have to realize this, my respected brothers. We have this. All we need to do is meditate slightly inside us, and you will see clearly who we really are. Isliye muraqaba karna bahut zaruri hai. So this was the battle of Banu Mustalaq. Another very important event was Sulh Hudaybiyah. Sulh Hudaybiyah, very quickly, was a period, a time in history when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decided to perform Umrah with his companions. 1,400 Sahaba marched out from Madinatul Munawwara to go to Makkah. When he got to Makkatul Mukarrama, he was, the Muslims were stopped by the Qurayshi people in the region of Hudaybiyah. Basically what happened is that they disallowed the Muslims to perform Umrah. Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at the time of Sulh Hudaybiyah, the Pact of Hudaybiyah, decided to appoint someone as a representative for Rasulullah and also for the companions to go and talk with the Qurayshi people as to what their terms were for the Muslims to perform Umrah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at all the companions. This is the biography of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. And he looked at Hazrat Umar Farooq and says, Umar, you stand. And Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an stood up and said, Umar, you go to the Qurayshi people as a deputy, as a representative, a wakil for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslims, and ask them what the terms are. Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an, he looked at Huzur alayhi salatu wassalam and said, Ya Rasulullah, I agree whatever you say, I will go. But if they are to disrespect you, or if they are to utter any such words which I feel don't befit the lofty status of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I will have no choice but to unsheath my sword. Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam looked at the Umar Faruq, sit down. The ulama have mentioned another reason which Hazrat Umar Faruq also gave. Again, these were tribal people. He said that in the city of Makkah, my tribe, the tribe of Uday or Adi, there is no individual who holds that great position in the Quraysh now. A lot of them were in Madinatul Munawwara. So Hazrat Umar Faruq gave his own mashwira. He says, if you want me to go, I will go. But I feel that it would be better if you allow Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala to go. Now Hazrat Uthman was a powerful man in Makkah. He had a lot of properties in Makkatul Mukarrama, a wealthy man. People knew him. A lot of people owed him money. Powerful man. His tribe was there all settled. And there was instant security given to Hazrat Uthman. When he goes to Makkah, and when they saw Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, and straight away his tribe came in front and said that Panah, refuge is given to Uthman. He is from amongst us. This is how they would work. Though he was a Muslim. But Qabail tribe, for them tribalism was something very, very important. So Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala went to discuss the terms with the Kuffar, Quraysh people. When he went into the city of Makkatul Mukarrama, the Muslims were on the outskirts. News or rumors broke out that Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala has been assassinated. Allahu Akbar. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now again we talk about Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam's knowledge and knowledge of the unseen. Knowledge of the unseen, what is known as Allamul Ghuyub. Now Allamul Ghuyub is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No doubt knowledge is given to Anbiya alayhimu salam, and they speak and they inform of things that are to occur in the future, but that is through revelation. Here clearly we see that a rumor that was circulating from the Qurayshi people that reached the Muslims, that Sayyidina Uthman was assassinated. This was a rumor. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was under a tree, and that tree is also mentioned in the Quran, tahta shajara. And Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam put his hands in front and he said that I am doing bay'ah on my own hands, on the hands of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an. And the rest of the companions also came and took an oath on the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the ulama have mentioned, إِلَىٰ تَجْدِيدِ الْبَيْعَةِ عَلَى الْمَوْتِ فَبَايِعُهُ, that a group of the companions did bay'ah on the hands of Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam that they will fight until death. That they will fight until death to avenge the death of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an. All in all, only 1,400, no weapons, only a few weapons, perhaps a sword with Hazrat Umar Faruq radiallahu ta'ala an and the other companions. But generally they did not come with the intention to fight, they were in their ihram. Subhanallah. Then information was given to Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an is hayat, and he is safe. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an said to the people that you should allow a safe passage to the Muslims for them to perform Umrah. Kuffari Quraysh said no. Muslims are in ihram. Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam is in ihram. And they are saying no. They said to Hazrat Uthman, if you wish, you can perform Umrah and go. But not the companions and not Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala said that, How can Uthman perform Umrah when Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam is not allowed to perform Umrah? Subhanallah. And he returned back and he came with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to draw down the agreement, the pact of Hudaybiyah. And this, subhanallah, pact of Hudaybiyah is of double standard, but there is a lot of lessons for us to learn. On behalf of the Muslims, the scribe, the writer was Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, and on behalf of the Qurayshi people, it was Suhail bin Amr. Suhail bin Amr. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Suhail, he says it is better for Suhail to come. And then he invited Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an that Ali write down the agreement, all the conditions. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Hazrat Ali, Uktub bismillahir rahmanir rahim. That the first thing you write is bismillahir rahmanir rahim. There is a lot of power in bismillahir rahmanir rahim, my respected brothers. When Suhail heard of bismillahir rahmanir rahim, he said, Amr rahman fawallah ma adri ma huwa. Walakin uktub bismika Allahumma. Suhail said to Hazrat Ali, that who is Ar-Rahman and who is Ar-Rahim? We don't know who is Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. So don't write Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. If you want to write, write Bismillahum. He looked at Huzur alayhi salatu was salam and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam agreed. Fine, whatever he says. And so Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an wrote, Bismik Allahumma. And then Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Ali writes, Hada ma salaha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is something that Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is agreeing to the terms. Ma salaha, agreeing to the terms. Again, Suhail comes in the middle, intervenes, and he said, Ali, if we believe Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be Rasulullah, then what was the problem? There is no problem. But we don't take him to be the messenger of Allah. So when you write, don't write Rasulullah, write Muhammad bin Abdullah. Again, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Hazrat Ali, erase the words Rasulullah. And now Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an started to shiver. And he says, Ya Rasulullah, it is not in my power, in my capacity, that I erase Rasulullah from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again Huzur alayhi salam says, Ali, take out and erase out Rasulullah. I am the Rasul of Allah. Taking it out won't make any difference. He says, Ya Rasulullah, I can't. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Hazrat Ali, Ali, show me where Rasulullah is written and I will erase it out with my own hands. Allahu Akbar. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then erased and deleted the words Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My respected brothers, at that time Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an had a lot to say to the companions and also to the kuffar, the Qurayshi people. Insha'Allah ta'ala, I wish not to rush this. Great contributions from Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an, in a lot of the battles, Ghazawat, with Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We end at that insha'Allah ta'ala. If Allah wills, we will continue in the next session. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم نستغفرك ونتوب إليك نستغفرك ونتوب إليك يا الله يا رحمن يا رحيم يا الله اس مجلس کو قبول فرما الله بیٹھنے والوں کو قبول فرما الله بولنے والے کو قبول فرما يا رحمن يا رحيم يا الله تو ہم سے راضی ہو جا يا الله تو ہم سے راضی ہو جا يا الله تو ہم سے راضی ہو جا يا الله عزت کے بعد ذلت سے بچا. Yeah. عزت کے بعد ذلت سے بچا، خاتمہ بالخیر ہو، یا اللہ جو بیمار ہو ان کو شفا دے، یا اللہ ہمارے رشتہ داروں میں سے، عزیز و قارب میں سے، یا اللہ جن کا انتقال ہوا ہے، یا اللہ ان کی قبروں کو منور فرما، یا اللہ ان کی قبروں کو منور فرما۔ سبحان اللہ وبحمده سبحان اللہ العظیم، سمعنا واطعنا غفرانک ربنا و الیک المصیر، برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین۔